Next week is Christmas Day. On Saturday before, it is the vigil of Christmas. And as it is the vigil, it is a day of fast and also a day of complete abstinence. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. That is a day of fast for adults 21 to 59 and complete abstinence, just as it were a Friday. So complete abstinence for everyone. Also that night on Saturday evening, vigil of Christmas, there will be the 11:20 carol service, followed by the procession to the manger scene at 11:55, followed by midnight mass. And for Sunday morning, the Nativity of our Lord, there will be 8 a.m. Mass here at the chapel. So midnight Mass and 8 a.m. this Christmas, the Feast of Christmas forthcoming this Saturday, this Sunday. Also, please take a bulletin home. There are the change of Mass times in the bulletin for the school Masses and the chapel. They are various times throughout the week, so please do take a bulletin with to find out those various Mass times. Also, this Thursday evening, the St. Pius V School will hold its annual Christmas concert. That will be at 7:30 p.m. at Sweet Hollow Hall. I encourage all of you to be here, or be there, I should say, for the concert. These children have been working very hard to make it a good concert again this year. So I'd encourage you to be here. That's Thursday, December 22nd. That's this Thursday for a Christmas concert. Also, we have postponed the dinner for the first Saturday dinner, excuse me, breakfast for the Right to Life March. It will be on now January 7th, the first Saturday of 2012. It's to help defray the cost for the bus that we are going to be taking to Washington for the National Right to Life March. So please do join us for breakfast on first Saturday morning, that is January 7th, after the Mass. The epistle appointed to be read for the fourth Sunday in Advent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day, but neither do I judge my own self. For I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise from God. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, a tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord was made unto John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it was written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Throughout the Gospels that we have been reading during Lent, these are the last words of St. John the Baptist. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. They point the way to Christmas, our soon to be born new King is the salvation of God. And we, all of flesh, have seen this salvation. To prepare for the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths, we must foster an enthusiasm in us which is able to put us before the crib and swear our fidelity to the Savior of mankind. Our Lord can pour into us the strength needed to carry out his holy will, to set in motion all the energies of our courage, to light within us the sacred fire of inspiration. We have to use every occasion of our minds and every occupation of our hands and souls to make the call of our divine Savior a living reality in our lives. This little child, our newborn king, is exactly that. He is a king, and we are his subjects. Our hands, our minds, our hearts, and the hearts of men are ready to show their gallantry in serving such a king, to fight the battles of the king. The difficulty today is that our battles are not the battles of blood. Our battles today are our secret battles. They are the hidden battles from the eye. The battles that we have, that we perform in the name of the Christ child, are the battles against, as St. Paul says, principalities and powers, the rulers and the spirits of darkness, that is, with Satan and the devils. Those are the battles that we must fight for our sanctification and fidelity to our King. More fervor, more vigor must be added to our efforts towards our holiness, to make straight that way of the Lord. We must put into practice and exert boldness in the conflict, in the combat for our souls, to prove that fidelity to our Lord and not turn our back on this little child. We are the church militant, and we are fighting in the name of our Savior. In order to gain the victory, we must cut ourselves off from the spirit of the world. We are not now preparing for the happy holidays. We are making straight the path for Christmas. We are now preparing for the birth of Christ. Christ's Mass is birth in the world. The foundation of the kingdom of Christ is our faith. He still lives and reigns, and we as Catholics, we who belong to the one true faith, should be uneasy, and we should be discontented until Christ sits on the throne of the hearts of men. We must be the emissaries of God, moving in and out as a mission with a message among those with whom we walk and with whom we work. We have been entrusted with promoting the honor of our little king, to prepare his way by making the rough ways of the world smooth. It is through our prayers, by our good example, our piety, our promotion of the faith and the truth. These are the weapons that are at our disposal. We must pray for the conversion of the hearts of men. We must let the light of our good conduct shine before men. And we must have no part in those actions that would degrade the very standard by which we as Catholics live. When the enemy is overthrown by our perseverance and we gain the victory, we shall also join in the rewards of our labor. But our Lord is very clear. Our Lord has said to us, "He that is not with me is against me." There is no middle ground. Either we are fighting for Christ, and we are fighting for our salvation, for whom we belong to Christ, or we are opposed to Christ. There is no neutrality. The effort that is expended by us to make the straight with his paths, the path that leads into our hearts, to smooth the way of our wayward wills, the rough places of vice and sin that wreak havoc upon souls, to make straight his way by practicing true Catholic piety, especially in the workplace, to show our fellow men that piety yet is a vital action in our own lives. There's no area in today's society, in today's world, that is exempt from spiritual need. From the very highest in the world to the very lowest, they are all in need of a spiritual vigor required for salvation. And we here are called to the one true church. We must not be content with simply preparing ourselves for the coming of the King. We must bear influence on others to help them prepare. The discrepancy between actual results of all the possibilities of influence lies in the fact that the friends of Christ, those whom he has given the great gift of the faith, are content to let the world go on as it will. But then they're content to follow. Too many Catholics in the world today, even those who are holding on to the true sacrifice of the Mass, are content with leading lives of complacency. They are complacent in following the whims and the maxims of the world. Catholics who are content with reading the latest popular tabloids or the smut magazines, content with profaning the Sunday by doing their shopping on Sunday. The reason it's called Sunday is because it is the name of our Lord, Dominica, Dominus. Dominica is Sunday. It's the Lord's day. And yet how many profane the day by performing their servile work or doing their shopping? Or those who are content with following the latest immodest fads and fashions, content with practicing the faith once a week on Sunday, content with praying their family rosary maybe once a month or maybe once a week rather than daily. Or those who are content with allowing those who hate the Christ child to come into their homes. They open their doors wide to the enemies of Christ because they turn on the television to the channels and listen to the vile programs of those who hate Christ. Or they listen to the vile music and they let it run through the speakers of their home. Or they turn on the internet and instead of looking for the good things that are necessary, they go to the vile places of those who hate Christ. Catholics who are content to turn their back on Christ. My dear faithful, the world is crying for spiritual assistance, and it is not being heard even by those who are called to the one true faith. The virtue of our calling to the one true church, the virtue of the gift that God has given to us of our faith, that we are members of the church militant, and we must be fighting for our little infant king. We must first and foremost have courage. We must have the conviction stamped upon our hearts to carry on the ways of our divine Redeemer. We must be willing and ready to combat the enemies to our faith, to the enemies of our salvation, to the very enemies of the supernatural lives that we must be leading in order to gain our life of heaven. Christ knows us that we are members of his mystical body. And if our lives before men are what they ought to be, then our neighbors would soon recognize us for what we are, and they also would want to be members of the mystical body of Christ. My dear faithful, make straight the way of the Lord, make smooth his paths, and we'll see the salvation of our God. This is the last Sunday of Advent. Make the resolve to prepare your soul well now. We are not preparing for the happy holidays. We are preparing for Christmas. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.